the thoughts just haunted me daily. You know, she lived rent free in my head, man.
All right, guys, welcome to another episode of the Type 1 Lifting Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. I have a returning guest. Actually, we haven't talked in probably like 2 years, roughly.
A couple of years.
Yeah, so he's the owner of the Imam Company, and if you see him working out in his driveway, you know who the alpha guy is in the neighborhood, Brandon Luckett.
Thank you for having me, Tom. Appreciate
it. Hey, so there was one Instagram video. I wish I pulled it up, but it's you doing back squats or something like that, or like front racks with like no shirt on, like in the driveway. And I'm like, and I wrote like alpha guy. So, and I'm like, dude, like you were looking absolutely like yoked.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm a bit heavier than I used to be.
Yeah, but is it kind of good for you though?
It's been good. It definitely, I mean, I think like the biggest shortcoming for me in terms of competing has always been like the strength side of things. Mm-hmm. And over the past few months, I've added on a few pounds, which is probably needed. But I mean, whenever I wasn't competing, I was like, I didn't care that much. I didn't eat that much because I was, you know, working quite a bit. So I'd shed the weight. But like, dude, I'd say probably since you and I talked the first time, I've put on at least 13 pounds.
Damn. Yeah. That's crazy. I think I put on like about 10 or 12 pounds too. So
all in your biceps, though, I can see.
Yeah, right. No, dude, you know, since I know you used to be part of Misfits for a while. So I still follow them. And I'm telling you, like, I'm not saying that your program's crap or anything like that, but I'm just saying like the Misfit like has helped me. Like my lifts have gone absolutely through the roof.
Yeah.
So yeah, especially
I mean,
being
Misfits was great. I mean, they're the OGs, man. And I followed them for 4 or 5 years, probably.
Yeah. So
nothing but good things to say about them, you know?
Yeah.
And all the coaches over there, I still love them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're great. And they're like so easy to talk to too, which is good. Oh, yeah, so
for sure.
But yeah, as a 44-year-old man, I'm like, I'm squat cleaning 325, snatching 245. And like, me being 6'6" too. So that doesn't really help me out. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. The camera definitely takes away like a foot.
Yeah. Dude, yeah. And it's funny because like you'll see videos of me and they're like pretty up close, but like when you actually see like me standing next to somebody, it's like night and day. They're like, holy smokes, you're tall.
I had no clue.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't really go to any competitions or anything like that. So, I mean, I would like to. But it's like
you have to just start showing up looking like a basketball player.
Yeah, true. Yeah, true. I make Matt DeLugos look silly at the height wise. So I got like 3 inches on him.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but the last time we talked, you were contemplating on like not hanging it up, but like, you know, moving on to your job with your dad and stuff like that. And I know in the previous podcast you did today with Savon, I was hoping I got you before him, but I didn't. I was like, shit. But anyway, you did jujitsu for a little while, and then you joined a team. So was jujitsu like not lighting the fire for you to go back to, and that's the reason why you went to back to CrossFit?
No. So Alexis Johnson, a very good friend of mine, I kind of credit with her with like kind of pushing me to the next level of competing. Cause I met her while I was doing a summer internship in Houston in like 2016 and, just like being around her and watching her like push herself, I was like, oh dude, there's a whole nother level that like I haven't even touched. And so she's been my friend for 8 years now or something like that. But, in 2020, the year of COVID, she had texted me in like September and was like, hey, start training, we're gonna do a team this year. I was like, okay, fine. Like pulled me out of retirement. That was the first time I came out of retirement.
I didn't
compete in 2019. So 2020 we did team. We went down and did a sanctional in Buenos Aires and qualified for the CrossFit Games, and then COVID happened. And so like teams weren't going to be a thing. They did like the at-home games that year, which I got to do as an individual. So I consider that like my second time qualifying for the CrossFit Games as an individual.
Yeah.
But we didn't get to compete together, Alexis and I, on a team. So she did team a few more times throughout the years with like some really awesome teammates and like had a good time doing it. But she got to a point where she's like, all right, this is going to be the last year, like for good. I'm done after this. And she texted me. She's like, hey, and this is, again, I had like decided to retire. Like I didn't compete in 2022. So 2023 season comes around. She's like, hey, it's my last year. It would be really cool if we could do a team together so that like I can compete with you before I'm done. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, but I'm not helping you put the team together. I'm not changing the way I train. It's like for funsies, like, but let's do it. So we ended up putting together an awesome team, had a great time in like the 2023 season. And we got to compete together at the CrossFit Games.
Yeah. And you, so, you guys, I think you guys, didn't you guys like place like fifth or something like that?
We were like 11th. So we did. 11th, yeah. Okay. Alexis was extremely sick the entire weekend of the CrossFit Games, which was tough. For her, you know, that's like that's her last time at the CrossFit Games. That's got to be like tough. Where like, I mean, she either had flu or COVID. We don't know which one it was. We didn't say. We didn't talk about it. We'd pretended like she wasn't sick. But like, I remember the first event, we were doing synchronized overhead squats facing each other, and dude, her eyes were like bulging out of her head. She was pale, and I was like, this is gonna be a rough weekend, dude. Like it was bad.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, so that's how I got pulled out of retirement. That's why I stopped doing jiu-jitsu, because I decided to compete. And like, I couldn't do jiu-jitsu without trying to grapple like a wrestler and move quickly and like push a pace or whatever. And I was, dude, I thoroughly loved it. But every week, my neck, my back, my fingers, the toes, like I'm pretty sure I broke my hand once. I couldn't shake a hand for a few months. Like, dude, it was awesome, but like it was breaking me at the same time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was like, okay, like I need to, like if I'm gonna compete, I can't do this too. So I would love to go back and get back into that grappling, because I certainly miss it, but it doesn't jive well with trying to keep your body intact.
Yeah. And that kind of works well with your wrestling background too. So
yes, yeah.
So
it brought back a lot of those fires from like wrestling, you know?
Yeah. 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 So I've never wrestled or done jiu-jitsu. So I'm just like, I have a feeling if I go up against like a smaller individual, I'm going to get thrown around, or I'm going to toss other people around because I have like no idea what I'm doing.
It's probably like they'll probably throw you right into the fire when you like go in there.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll be like, oh, hey, you're big and strong. Why don't you come on and join the circle? Get in the circle.
Let me show you how I can use your levers against you.
Yep. And you're like,
I think my favorite term for like jiu-jitsu is I like it whenever people show me how to fold my clothes while I'm still in them, you know? And that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not flexible either. So that I'd get definitely screwed. So, yeah. But, With a lot of people that don't know who Alexis Johnson is, she's a former Misfit athlete.
Yeah.
And she, like you said before, she goes hard, like hard, like you said, you've seen like one level of her and like, it's like almost double that. So like,
yeah.
she loves going into that pain cave like a lot. And so how was
whenever I met her, she would go into asthma attacks in the middle of Metcons. Like she has asthma. I was like, dude, you're a psycho. Like,
is she trying to be awesome. Like FDR? Is she trying to be like Franklin Delano Roosevelt, like doing all those hikes and like trying to, cause he had asthma too.
I don't know. She was so fit. Like, and she used to yell at me. Like, I think she hated me for a little while cause I was so young and dumb and like a 20-year-old kid. And yeah, she taught me a lot that like, just about how to like push yourself to a new level. And that was cool.
Yeah, and what were some of the things that she said to how to that makes you better to push yourself, other than you getting yelled at?
Yeah, I mean, one of the there were a few things. I've gotten yelled at by her for chalking in the middle of a workout. She's like, "You don't need chalk," like legit yelling at me.
Yeah.
I made the mistake of talking in the middle of a Metcon to her.
No, you never do that.
And we were both working out next to each other.
That's crazy.
And she like looks at me like with like this fire in her eyes, and she's like, if you have enough oxygen to talk right now, you are not going hard enough. And I was like, oh, duly noted. Like,
yeah.
And then there was another moment. We were both on assault bikes, and I'm like a bigger guy. I was like certainly bigger than a like little bitty Alexis. And the workout started with like a 21 and a 16 calorie bike, 21 for the guys, 16 for the girls. And like obviously we're supposed to like we should get off at the same time if yeah. like if I pushed appropriately hard. But dude, I shit you not, I got off at like I got to 15 calories and she hopped off, and I was like, oh no, I'm so bad at this sport. Like, dude, she was like ran circles around me that entire summer, but it was awesome.
Yeah. Was there any workouts that you actually did beat her at one point?
There was a workout, I think. And I don't even know if it was that summer. I think it was because I did that internship that summer in Houston. I went back to Louisiana, finished my last year of undergrad, and then went to graduate school back in Houston. So I don't think it was until I like went home for a full year, trained, and then went back, and like I finally got a W on her at some point that year.
Yeah, yeah. So did you have like a poster on the wall of her just like screaming, saying like, I got to get better. Like, I'm going to get better than you. I'm going to get better than you.
The thoughts just haunted me daily. You know, she lived rent free in my head, man.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. And it's crazy to see like how other people manage like pushing themselves through workouts, because, you know, the typical gym goer doesn't go into that pain cave a lot, but like a lot of you guys go in almost like on a daily basis.
Yeah. I have a question for you. Can you hear these two talking?
A little bit, but it's not that bad.
Hey guys, be quiet. Y'all are ruining the show, bro. So can you repeat your question?
Yeah. So obviously with, you know, her going to the pain cave and like you going to the pain cave, like a lot of people that are like a regular gym goer don't go into that kind of pain cave, but you guys go into it every single day pretty much.
Yeah, in some form or fashion, yes.
Yeah.
I think at this point, like I think in the early days of competing, it was like push yourself to the absolute limit of your capability in every workout every day. You know, the fire breathing era. Like if you kind of remember your fire breathers. I think at this point people are getting a little more like connected to training a little bit more, and like is smarter with it, and like we know that like we can't push ourselves to that limit every single day. Mm-hmm. Or you'll get like burnout, you'll get adrenal fatigue, and so like, and there's definitely like cycles like throughout the season as a whole,
but
there's still like the mental grind of it. Even if you're not like, you know, pushing yourself past threshold and getting into like that third, fourth gear, like there's still the mental aspect of it, of like every single day I've got to like check these things off the box and I have to do them intently, and like it's going to be a grind. And so like even in that aspect, like there's going to be that like every single day, even though it's not, let me see how fast I can like complete this task, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And how do you get into that? Like pain, like, let's just say you have a workout that's like, you know, I don't know, like the last regional or something like that, when you were like the fifth person to get into the games. I forget what year it was, but like you were like, you probably were thinking in your head, well, I'm just guessing, but you know, you were saying, listen, I got to like full throttle this workout. And so how do you get your mindset into knowing that, like, listen, you're going to go dark for a little bit and just like, and just go. Because I know, you know, a lot of people can't get into that mindset. So how do you get into that mindset?
Man, I think it's part of the competitive nature. Cause I mean, everyone knows that like you put someone next to you, like if you train in your garage by yourself and do a Metcon and then go to the gym and do it with the class, like more often than not, you're probably going to push yourself much harder whenever you've got like other rabbits to chase, or like, you know, pride's on the line, or like ego gets involved and things like that. And so I think it's for competitors, it is the daily thought of like, I've got to get myself to that place so that I am aware of how it feels. And I'm like, I know that my body and mind can function in that like darkness. so that whenever like I do get to the floor, I'm not incapable of like touching that place. And so it's just like, it's constant and frequent exposure to that feeling. And like, it's hard to get to the pain of like competition in training. Like rarely do you go to that darkness, but it's like you get close to it. Like you make things hurt really bad so that whenever you like get to competition, like you know that you can get there, and like you know like you're capable of like this pain tolerance and like,
yeah.
And I think that's something that's like I've gotten a little bit better at this year, mostly from just doing 30-minute pieces. Is like you don't have to like, you know, redline in the first 5 minutes if it's a 30-minute piece, because like the last 10 minutes you're redlined. So like you don't get a choice. Like you should get redlined regardless, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's so awesome. Yeah. I was going to ask. Have you ever like when you do a hard workout, do you ever like flail down on the ground and like a dog, like, you know, just like a dead person pretty much? Or you do that like a good amount of the times?
No, not a good amount of the times. It's usually like a sit down on the haunches and like find a fan, or you know, just watch the sweat drip onto the floor. But every now and then, like there's a your feet touch the floor and like you just collapse. Like every now and then there's one of those. Like event two from quarterfinals, the wall ball and burpee box jump over. My feet touch the floor, and then my shoulders shortly thereafter also touch the floor. You know.
Yeah. I think in my CrossFit, you know, all the years I've done CrossFit, I think I've laid on the floor like four times, because I strictly remember Sherb from Misfit Athletics. He's like, you don't lay down like a dead dog. Just, you know, you stand up or sit down or do something like that. And so I was like, okay. I have in that mindset pretty much just like, okay, I need to, you know, just sit down or like, you know, not flail on the ground and like look just like a dead dog pretty much.
Yeah. I've had the dead dog looks a few times, but not as frequently as you might expect. Not as frequently as, like, I don't know if you remember Travis Williams.
Yep.
Every workout, dude, every single workout, that dude was immediately after the last rep. And I think that's just, he was one of those guys that like it was fifth gear or no gear at all. Like if it was paced out, he didn't want to do it. He wouldn't do an on the minute style workout. He wouldn't do a workout at 80%. He didn't like long workouts because he couldn't redline immediately in them. And so like every workout he did, it was last rep on the ground, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I think I've heard the guys from Misfit say like he goes like 100% like immediately right off like the first couple seconds, and he just like I think when he was training and like doing competitions, he would try to gauge on like, you know, can he hold that pace for the whole time so everyone has to catch up pretty much.
Yeah, he would bait people out all the time, and he was just like, he was so hard-headed, like he would be the guy who could hold it, you know.
Yeah And his story is interesting. He was a really heavy set dude before he started big CrossFitting boy. Yeah. And did you learn anything from him at all? Or,
oh my gosh. Yeah.
Other than like redlining and stuff. Yeah.
How to go full dummy. he was actually the first person, probably outside of like my father, who truly believed that I could qualify for the CrossFit Games. Like, and that year was like 2018, because I mean, he lived in Houston and was training with Alexis. And, that year, 2018, he's like, you're going to the games. You're going to the games. Like, he repeated it. Like, every time I saw him, he's like, you're going to the games. So, like, he truly believed it. And, like, he was the first person outside of, you know, like I said, my father, who, like, actually believed that I was capable. And so, he's a good friend.
So, when he was saying that, you're like, nah, you're just kidding. Like, not like, were you just, like, being like, you're kidding around. Stop it. Did you believe it at all?
It's more of a, like, I don't know, maybe. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
It's possible, you know, and even like, I mean, that's still the same mindset I have. Is like, it's possible. I'm capable. Because like, if you don't believe you're capable, you've like, right. Like, that's not the mindset you go in with, but you also don't go in with like the expectation or like the mindset of like, I'm going to qualify. Because there's so many uncontrollables out there that like, to just be like, yeah, I'm going to, and just have like that assuredness, to me, is a dangerous mindset, because I don't know. I would be afraid to have that mindset, because there's so many things I can't control, and I don't want to get to like a I would like to, I mean, maybe like a cocky mindset of like, no matter what, I'm going to qualify. And like, I don't know if that's a fair thing for me to say.
Yeah. And I don't see you as a cocky guy at all.
I try not to be.
Yeah. And then once you like say, like, I'm going to the games or I'm going to, you know, semifinals or whatever like that, and you don't get in, you know, then there's that fear that comes in, and you've expressed that in the Savant podcast about you being fear of coming back and failure. So how did you switch that mindset from being in fear to, listen, I can hang with the best of these guys still?
That's a good question.
That's why I podcast.
Yeah. I think it's like the fear's still there, right? But I recognize that everybody has some amount of fear in their head. But like I got to the point where I wasn't going to let the fear just prevent me from finding out like what I could do, you know? And it wasn't about like, I think I can hang with the best, because I truly had no idea. I didn't really know how fit I was compared to anybody else, because I hadn't competed like individually in so long. I didn't have, you know, a training camp to compare scores off of or anything. And like, there was a few times where like, you know, maybe I did do a workout that someone else had done that was a good athlete. And like, I was like, okay, like I can actually like compare that. And I ended up getting a few people following like the Imam company who were very talented and very fit. And I could kind of start gauging myself off of that, but I still didn't really know. I'd been out of it for long enough. And, but that question, like that, like the not knowing kind of stopped mattering. I was like, well, I'm just going to go see like kind of what I'm capable of and see like where this journey goes, and like tell myself that like the result is not why you're doing this. Like, you're not doing this so you can qualify. You're doing this because you love this path. You love this journey. So like, just go do it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I see fear as kind of like a handicap too, because it actually like stops people for doing stuff. Like, for example, when I was working at a children's hospital in the ER, I was talking to this lady and she's like, where are you from? And I'm like, oh, I'm from Massachusetts. And they're from, it was in Atlanta. And so she's like, where's that? And I was like, Massachusetts. And so she's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, it's like north of Connecticut, you know, New York and stuff like that. It's really close to that area. And she's like, oh, I've never left Atlanta.
People don't want to, like, yeah, dude.
And I'm like, you can't let fear hinder, yeah, like, like, you're going to regret everything in life. You're like, I never left Atlanta. Like, I could have gone to like the next state over, or like, or visit a whole bunch of places.
Yeah. I think I've certainly battled fear so much through my life. Fear of not getting good enough GPA in undergrad, fear of not getting into a good graduate school, fear of not matching in a residency, fear of not qualifying for the CrossFit Games. Like, the fear goes on and on. And like, I think actually, over the past few months, like, I kept reflecting on all of those times I was so afraid of the failure that was to come, and all the times where like I did fail, because I've certainly failed in enough things to be, you know, familiar with failure. Like, the world kept turning. I just figured out a new way. I found out like a new path, or like the next, like how to reapproach the thing that I had failed so I can try again. Like, I realized that like failure is just part of it, dude. You know, it's like, okay, like, you're going to fail, like, and you should be the person that is failing things, because if you're always like reaching your goal, then maybe you're just not ambitious enough. So it's like, dude, like, who gives a shit if you go and fail this thing? Like, go do the thing anyway, dude.
Yeah.
And so I think that was a big part of it. It's just like, okay, like, who cares if you don't attain the goal that you wanted? It's like, you're going to set a new one the day you get back anyway, and you're going to go try to chase that. And maybe you fail at that one, or maybe you like succeed. But like, I realize that like the game's the thing I'm playing, and it's not like the goalpost I'm trying to reach. I just want to keep playing the game, whatever that game is, whether that's like whether that's work or whether that's CrossFit or whether that's like the next thing that I do after CrossFit, it's like the game's going to keep getting played, and that's what I want to do. I don't like, I will never be finished, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it's like, I've had to fear myself too, even like starting like my former t-shirt company, Type 1 Lifting, and even starting this podcast, it was like fear. And then I read a book called Screw It, Just Do It by Richard Branson. It's like, it's a real short book. It pretty much talks about like how he was like, just screw it. I'm just going to do it anyway. Like, whatever. Yeah. I'm going to go to this person's house. I'm going to do this, this, this. And then came out to what, like what it is. And so I was like, oh, okay, I should do that. And so, you know, if I didn't do half the stuff, I wouldn't be, you know, here talking to you or even doing other things too.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Like, yeah, the fear is always going to be there. It's whether or not you face it. And like, and I think that's another thing that like, you've probably seen it, is like, bravery is not the absence of fear. Bravery is doing the thing while you're afraid of it anyway, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, throughout the whole process, were you talking to anybody or like, you know, did you read a book that kind of, you know, other than your dad and, you know, and Travis or whoever else, like, you know, was there something that like, was like sparked and said, okay, like this fear is not gonna, you know, be me at all?
Yeah. So like, I mean, that fear side of things was recent. We're like, I guess throughout competing, I've always had like those small fears, but like this year was a little bit different in the sense that like fear almost stopped me from from trying.
Yeah.
Like it legitimately, like the fear was that strong in my head. And yeah, there were a lot of people I talked to. There were a lot of books I read, you know, from my wife, you know, discussing like whether or not I should do it or this, that, and that. Like talking to her about like my desire to even want to do it. You know, I go to therapy every couple weeks. I see a therapist now, and like that's been insanely helpful for like working through the things in my head, because I'm a pretty closed off person. And so it took me like working with an individual that like I found trust in and opened to like a relationship where I could be vulnerable with. And like that's hard for me to admit on this podcast, like talk about like I go to therapy frequently, because that's a new thing for me over the past few months. But like honestly, it's been one of the most beneficial things for me in all walks of life, and like diving into like, why am I afraid? Like, why do I care about what other people think? Like, why all these things? Like, and realizing that like I don't have to care about what everyone else thinks about me all the time, right? You know, there's a few books that I've read that have been pretty insightful over the past few months, and so like I think it helped me kind of callous my mind over a good bit and find a good bit of clarity. And yeah, it's been good.
It's awesome. Yeah, I do therapy too as well, so I mean it's been a huge help. Like yourself, I'm pretty, you know, I don't know, my wife said I'm kind of stoic a little bit, that I don't say anything or just like kind of, you know, I'm just quiet until like the last minute I'll say, oh, hey, I got this going on, or I got this. And so she's like, what the hell? Like, you know, why didn't you tell me this earlier? So like now it's like, even like with podcasting, like I try not to tell her like last minute saying, hey, I got a podcast like this day, like, you know, like the day before. I try to tell her like at least a good time in advance, so she's like prepared that like, hey, he's going to be down here from like 8:30 to 10 o'clock or whatever, or God knows how long. So, and like, you know, all that stuff. I think communication is key too. So, and obviously, with your wife and stuff like that, when you talked about, hey, I want to give this another go, what was she saying throughout the whole process?
She's been the most supportive human in my life, man. And so like, dude, she's always said like, you know, I don't care if we have kids. I don't care how many jobs you work. I don't care how many companies you're working for. Like, if you want to do this, like we'll figure out a way to make it happen. And so like, you know, I ask her, you know, like, should I compete this year? She's like, I think you should do it as long as you want to, you know, like as long as you have a desire to, and like you're enjoying it, like there's no reason for you to ever stop. Like we will find the time, you know? So she's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's really cool. And I see her in some of the videos that you post with you doing the workouts.
Yeah,
in the back.
Yeah, she's in the garage a lot.
Yeah. So is she the head content creator of Emom and your Instagram page?
Nah, it's me, man. She does the apparel though. She does the apparel now. She does apparel. She's an accountant. She's a CPA. So she does her books now. She keeps tabs on all that stuff. She puts out orders. There's always a stack of like boxes and bags by the door. She's like, hey, you got to bring those to you, like the post office. I'm like, sweet. Good. Let's go.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Keep it going. Keep it coming. Yeah. So, so with you starting that, you talked about companies before. So you started the Emom company. So yes, can you go a little bit more in depth about that and like, why did you start it and, you know, and how it's, where it's going now?
Yeah. So like that 2022, like after the 2021 season, 2021 was the last year I competed at the CrossFit Games. I was living in Oklahoma that year I competed. I moved home in August to start working for my father. And he had gotten very sick with COVID and was out of work for a couple months. Not only was he out of work from COVID, he'd also taken like 2 weeks off to go watch me in Madison. And got sick in Madison. So then when he got home, he was out of work for a while. And so I moved home early from Oklahoma because the work was getting so piled up. He asked me to come home to like start taking care of business. And he was actually afraid that he might pass. He was on an oxygen tank, and it was actually like, man, it was a Thursday. And I called him. I was like, hey dad, like, if you need me to come home, like, you would tell me, right? Because at this point, it had been like a couple weeks and he was not getting better. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, I'd let you know. I was like, okay. And I was like, well, do you? He's like, no, I'm good right now. And then the next day, he's like, how soon can you get home? So I was like, I'll be there Monday, dude. We picked up a couple U-Hauls, put as much of our furniture and stuff in our house and that was in our house as we could into a U-Haul. Drove home on Sunday and unpacked on Monday, and Tuesday I started working with them. After a few weeks, we kind of got some things under control. I was able to catch up on a good bit of work. I went back to Oklahoma for a week to finish packing up the house and then moved home and was working. And we were still a little bit backed up, so I was doing quite a lot, getting adjusted to the new schedule, getting it like adjusted to every new hospital I was working in. So it was quite overwhelming. And I just didn't have that one constant of my life as much of like training and like feeling good about like what I did physically. And so I think in November, like I was like, okay, like I'm just going to start doing my own thing. Like, I was either following like jump ship training with Seth, who used to be part of Misfits. Mm-hmm. I think I was following like his stuff, and I just like wasn't where I used to be, and like that ego played in. I was like, I'm not fit anymore. Like, my times don't compare to anybody anymore. Like, this is making me it's making me sad. It's like, I'm just gonna do my own thing. So like, I don't think about anybody else. And there was like, I mean, I used to do during residency, whenever I would get home at like 6:30, I only had like 30 minutes because like I wouldn't train late. I'd refuse to train late because it messed me up for the whole next day. I'd do a 30-minute EMOM. I'd pick a barbell movement or like a loaded movement. I would do a body weight movement and I would pick a machine and I would just rock it for 30 minutes or 10 rounds. And so in November, I was like, all right, I'm just going to start doing 30-minute EMOMs, dude. I'll ride as many of them as I can. And I'm going to start doing them. So like I did my first one and did like, I remember how good it felt to do something in the gym again and feel like I accomplished something, like something really difficult. And like, it just felt good. And like, it brought me back, man. And so my brother-in-law, my sister, my wife were all in the gym with me that day. And I was like, I talked to my brother-in-law, Ron. His name's Ron. I was like, do you think other people would want to like see these workouts? He's like,
hell yeah.
I mean, yeah, like, why not? I was like, okay. And so I thought of the name, like the Emom Company, thought it sounded snazzy. I don't know, like something drew me to the name. Created the Instagram profile, and then just like whenever I would do 30-minute EMOMs or an EMOM of any sort, I would snag a video and throw it on Instagram. And you know, I would do that like 2 to 3 days a week because I didn't owe anything to anybody. I wasn't doing them every single day.
Yeah.
And But after a while, we kind of built up a repertoire of like workouts, and people were like following, and people started asking for like a daily program. I was like, dude, I'm not doing a daily program. I don't want to owe anybody 5 days of programming per week. That's too much work for me. I don't think enough people would follow it to like make it worth my time. And then enough people started asking.
Yeah.
So again, I went to my brother-in-law. I was like, hey, like, what do you think about like, maybe we make this like an actual thing and like we give it a shot. He's like, why don't you beta test it on someone first? And so like I had a buddy who was in law school, super busy kid. I was like, can I beta test this? Like, let me just see if I can even come up with like 5 on the minute style workouts a week, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I ran with that for a couple months and he's like, dude, it's good. I like it. It's fun. So I kind of developed like a, you know, rubric of like how the week would look. And we started a daily program. And we try to do everything in like within like a 45 minute time. So like a warm up, every other day was a lift. Every other day was a full, like, so it'd be like every other day would be like a short lift into an imam or an imam into a short lift. Mm-hmm. And then the other days were like long imams. And every Saturday was a 40 minute imam. And there's no lifting. It's like just a 40. Like, it's like everyone wants to go in on Saturday and get a long grinding workout and then be just like wipe the rest of the day, go spend time with their kids or go barbecue or just whatever. Like, yeah. You got like Saturday was your hard day, and we would throw in like minimal equipment and bodyweight workouts every week. So that the idea that we started behind was like to give people a heavy dose of fitness in a short amount of time without having to like worry about like, was my performance good? Did I do enough? To have like, it was like get in and like whenever you're out, you have no questions. You did the work, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like that was kind of our philosophy that we started behind with like our daily program. And like that grew slowly. Like we started with like 25 members. We grew to 50. And I remember like the day we hit 50, I was like, dude, this is so cool. Like 50 people care about what I'm writing. You know? Yeah. We would get like, you know, on months where we got like 15 trials. I was like, that's so cool. We got 15 trials, like 15 new people tried it. And we slowly grew. We added in like a competitive program. And that started out really slowly and it slowly grew. And this year, I think it's been like 2.5 years since like I started the Instagram. We have like our following exploded at the beginning of the year from like a few thousand followers on Instagram to like 90,000 out of like nowhere. And
90,000?
That's almost 90,000, yeah.
Holy crap.
And like for no reason. Like no reason.
That is insane. Insane. Yeah.
And like we have a pretty awesome membership. We have an awesome community. And like I had no expectation for it ever other than like I wanted to provide value to the community that followed us. And even to this day, I am very adamant about continuing to add value to our community. And so people can go to our Instagram page and see hundreds of workouts for free. And that is still what I care about, is just providing value to the people who have been there with us and like are hopping on with us now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you have some great testimonials on the website too, of like, just like quick blog posts on like, you know, people that do the EMOM, you know, company workouts and stuff like that, and how good they feel like during the workouts and how they feel better from when they first started.
Yeah. It's all very simple stuff. It's just gritty. And like, it doesn't have to be complicated. It's just got to be consistent. You know, you just got to get in there every day and just make it happen. And we have a pretty good format of just like start the clock and get going.
Yeah. Now, have you had like other people from like different groups kind of like help you out, like pave the way to like, you know, for memberships or anything like that?
How do you mean?
Like, you know, maybe the guys from Misfit be like, hey, you know, you may want to try this way instead of this way. Like kind of like someone to watch over.
Not really per se. I did talk to Seth Page with Jump Ship because he was a personal coach for me my last year I competed in CrossFit, and is a good friend of mine. And you know, like whenever I first started, he liked the idea of like the on the minute style training. And I was feeling awesome doing it. And like people enjoyed it. And, you know, things were like catching people's eyes, just like really hard grinding 30 minute EMOMs. And so like I kind of talked to him a little bit about how he grew, because he's grown very successfully. From like very small to like he's doing very well now. And you know, asked like some tidbits there. And so like he definitely gave some guidance, but you know, my brother-in-law and I, like, you know, he's a project manager and kind of has, you know, overseen some things that like grew with companies. And we've had like, you know, there's a friend of mine from Underdogs who's been like, dude, you should try this. Like, I think this challenge would like hit off. And I was like, okay, like we'll try it. And that challenge like doubled our membership in a month. I was like, nope, nice. That works, you know?
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
Like, yeah, I've been lucky to like just pick up from a few, like I will never say like anything I've ever done is certainly not at all by like just my work, like singularly, like there's always been a team behind it. And there've been like a few things picked up from other people that have been massive. And so now, you know, we've got, you know, a team of like 5 people who are working on this little project with me, and it's pretty cool.
Nice. Nice. And so how many members do you have now?
It's a bit over 500 now.
Oh.
And at the first of the year, I think we were at 120.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So is it almost at the point that you can leave your other job to do this full time, or is that even like in the,
I don't
in
want
your
to.
Mind?
I yeah. don't want to. So the physics company that I work for, I own with my father.
Yeah.
And I love what I do. It has allowed me and still allows me to do the Imam company and reinvest every dollar that we make back into either people or the community and helping it grow. So, I mean, we do challenge, like the first challenge we did, it's like, okay, we're going to give away $1,500 to Rogue. And if I was taking money out of the bank account for myself to like to pay any kind of bills, like I wouldn't have that freedom to give back.
True. Yeah.
And so like we just ended a challenge last night where I'm about to pay out like $2,000 in prizes, but like I get to do that because I don't take a penny out of the bank account.
Yeah.
It all gets to go right back to the people who support us and you know, trying to grow as much as we can. And so like the physics allows me to do that. And so I love what I do. I have no intentions of stopping that because I do love it. And so like, yeah, I as long as I can do both well, I'll keep doing both.
Yeah. Now, how do you juggle all three of the, like, you know, training, Imam company and like the physics company? Like, how do you juggle even hanging out with your wife and like doing out stuff on the outside? Like how do you balance like all those things at once?
It's a gradual growth of like things that you do day to day, right? Just, you know, at one point I was just a student and just a CrossFitter. And then I was just, you know, working for my father and training whenever I could. And then, you know, I started the Imam company and started that. So it's just like all these things just kind of become routine. So like at some point your day just starts at 5:30. And you start working as much as you can and you train when you can. And then at 7:30, you're like, okay, I'm done. So like, I try to do as much as I can each day. During this time of the season, it's really challenging, to not get, it's been like, that's one of the things over the past couple weeks, especially like through quarterfinals, it's very challenging. Like I'm a little bit behind on work for physics, but I also know that like, this is maybe my last chance to compete at semis and it might be my last year. And so like, it's okay to put the focus here because on Wednesday, when I get back, I've got a full day of work and I'll just steamroll as much as I can then. So like sometimes there are surges of one or the other, and sometimes it's all even keel. And the biggest thing is just sort of like, just to keep doing productive work as much as you can, as frequently as you can, and have a time where you shut it off. And for me, that's like 7 or 7:30. And
yeah.
I get a couple hours with Kristen at night and then it's off to sleep. And then we wake up and back to work, you know? But they're like, I used to get overwhelmed with it, I think, because it was so much. And I was like, you know, feeling very spread thin until I wrestled with the thought enough of like, okay, I just love doing all of these things. And so like I get to wake up and I get to start working and I love it. And then I get to work out, which I love. And then I get to eat breakfast, shower, and go to work, which I love. Mm-hmm. And then after I'm done with work, I'll go back to the gym, which I love. And then I'll come home and I'll spend time with my wife.
Which and you so, love. So
who I love. And so it's like sometimes, yeah, it's that doesn't make it easy.
Yeah.
But I like the process, man. I like the journey. I like the things that I do.
Yeah, you're listening. It's like you're like a big schedule guy, which
dude, no? Schedules. Yeah. I have a scheduler, but like with the physics work, it's like some days I work most of my job in New Orleans, which is about an hour away. And so like, dude, there's days where I start at 6 or 6:30 AM. There's days where I don't start till 4 PM. Mm-hmm. It's just all over the place, which is why I just do as much as I can with the time that I'm allotted, which is why I wake up at 5 or 5:30 every morning to start programming. And then if I can, I'll go work out or I'll just go straight to work or like just, it's just like day to day. And it's just habits. It's not routine, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I got it. Yeah. Cause I got a military background and we had like a schedule kind of like almost like a routine too as well. And it's like, it's really hard. I got really comfortable doing that kind of routine stuff. And then like, I got way too comfortable and then it started affecting like other things in my life that was like, you know, to be honest with you, more important. So yeah, it's like, you gotta have that balance of everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, I try to figure out what the day is going to look like the day before. But I mean, like, you know, last weekend is supposed to be a 3-day training weekend from Friday to Sunday, but I worked half of Saturday. And so as soon as I was done working, I was like, I got to find a gym. I got some buddies in New Orleans. You've got gyms. I got some friends in Baton Rouge. You've got gyms. So I found a gym to go train at for, you know, maybe an hour and 20 minutes. And I went to a baby shower for a gender reveal for my younger sister. She's having her first child.
Nice.
And, I was like, all right, I'll be here for 2 hours and then I will go home and I will go to the garage and I will train until 7 PM and then I'll eat dinner and I'll go to sleep. And that was my Saturday. Woke up, nice. Worked, trained. Spend some time with family, trained, go to bed.
Yeah. So speaking about gender reveal, did you see that? Do you follow that Instagram page, Gym Weirdos?
No.
I wish I had this video up. So they did a gender reveal party and the guy was a CrossFitter. And so he had like these like 225, like two bumper plates on each side. And they had these like packets of like color, so yeah. when he dropped the barbell, the color would shoot out to see if it's a boy or a girl. And so he took it up and just like slammed it on the ground as hard as he could, and it turned out blue. But if you notice, I'll send it to you too. So, but if you notice on like the bottom left hand corner, the powder just shot right at this girl's face and just like covered covered her face, her hair, her dress, like everything was completely covered in blue. It was hilarious.
Dude, that's almost exactly what we had 6 of those like confetti powder poppers in the yard. The entire yard was blue and full of confetti. There was confetti in like, dude, like 300 feet in the neighbor's yard. Like these things were like 3 feet long poppers. They weren't, you know, your foot long poppers. They were huge. The entire yard was blue.
Yeah. Yeah. We had I had the ones with like the sparkles and stuff like that. You just like twist it and it like pops off.
Yeah.
So my wife did an ad for, it was for like a cover for like, you know, a crib, like a day crib or something like that. If you go on to travel. So like when the kids sleep in the middle of the day, it's not like it's completely blacked out and they can't see anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it was like a giveaway. And so we popped it off and we took a picture and it was at this like random company's like wall. And like, it was like all the confetti was like all over the grass. And so I had to go back and get a leaf vacuum and like literally for like 3 hours, just vacuum all that shit up because it was like, I didn't want to get in trouble because my wife was taking pictures there and I'm like, God damn it, this is the worst thing ever. So yeah, it was not fun.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It did. Especially when she's has a huge following too. So
yeah.
320,000.
That's big.
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah. She's probably got more now. So she does. She's a fashion influencer.
Damn, dude. That's dope. That's every woman's dream.
Pretty much. Yeah. Like I could send you an Instagram page because like your wife would probably love it. So
I've got a question
for you.
So have you ever heard people be like, I wish I could just be like an influencer. Like that would be so easy. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Like, I wish I could just be like a fashion influencer and just try on clothes all day. Like, I would love that job. Like, like, hey, you know, like how hard they work like daily to do this kind of stuff.
So I'll give you a quick breakdown on it. So when we first, before Instagram came about, she started doing a blog post for fashion. And so every Sunday she would wear 5 different articles of clothing and I would take pictures with the camera. And so this was like more like, this is before, like, I think the iPhone was even out too. So I would take the pictures, you know, and she'd look at them. She's like, oh, this one's blurry. Do it again. And so we got to do it again, different poses. And we did it around the neighborhood where, you know, it'd be like, okay, I need to take a picture here. And we go to these random places too, of like places we shouldn't even be near, but it was like a cool background. So we just went in there anyway. And like it's very hard work. And then
it's just, she did it for years.
Years.
And like since, just put in the hours to be able to do it, you know?
Yeah. And then there's times where she would do in her reels, she would do try-ons of like different clothing and stuff like that. And I'd be in our master bedroom steaming all the clothes that she just got from Amazon because she needed to get them done and take pictures of them today. So she's like, you seen this, you seen that. And it's just like, over there and always taking
part.
Yeah, she put a lot of work in. Like obviously, like me taking pictures of her all the time. And there's a couple of times I was like, okay, I'm gonna go to the gym. She's like, I took pre-workout, and so she's like, can you take a couple of pictures of me? And I'm like, how many outfits are you doing? And she's like, 5. And I was like, 5? And like pre-workout already kicked in, and I'm like,
beta alanine tingles, like you can't.
Photo. And I was like, oh god. And then like I'm a graphic designer. I went to graduate college with a graphic design degree. So I was trying to put my artistic twist into taking pictures. And she's like, no, I have to be in the middle. I can't be off the side. It has to be in the middle. And so
you
You
can't do one thirds.
No, there's been a couple of times we've gotten into like a little arguments here and there. So, I mean, it happens, but she like, even people like podcasts or even like doing YouTube or whatnot. It's like people think it's so easy and it's not. It's just like being a professional CrossFit athlete. It is not easy whatsoever.
No, it takes a lot of time and a lot of consistency and a lot of work, and it's competitive. So yeah, it's not just I'm going to be a blogger I'm going to be a fashion influencer and like, this is going to be a fun life. It's like, no, you got to grind for a long time. And then once you make it, you have to keep grinding.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie that we've been on some trips. We've never paid a dime for anything. At that trip.
That's awesome. That's dope.
So yeah, and it's cool. Like we'd have kids too. And we have 2 kids, and like they would bring us we would get packages when we first started like really kicking it off and on Instagram. It was like we were getting packages every single day of just clothes or something else like that she wanted that people wanted to promote for her.
Now all the years later, now it is every woman's dream to be a fashion influencer. Once the free clothes start coming in, now it's time.
And people try, and it's like it's not like the group of people that they're looking for so to like do the fashion stuff. And so it's like it's a tough market out there. I'm telling you,
it's competitive, man.
It's insane. Like I can tell you so many stories.
Good crazy. For her. That's awesome.
But anyway, so you made it to semifinals, and I believe you are the number one person in the North American West.
On the leaderboard, I'm number 2. I was number 1 after the open.
Okay.
After quarterfinals, I was number 2, but really I'm number 3. So Patrick Vellner was ahead of me until he got hit with penalties on his box step ups. So I'd still say number 3.
Okay. Well, I mean, he did him wrong then. So
according to CrossFit, he did. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to stay on. I'm not going to ride that. Like I'll ride that fence. I'm not going to jump on one side or the other, but
yeah.
He's a fit dude. Super
neutral.
I'll just stay. I'll hold my place in third.
So you saw, obviously, saw the workouts. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously they're not email workouts. So how are you going to be able to handle all the the movements and stuff?
The same way I did the open, the same way I did quarterfinals, I guess. Just go do the thing. Yeah. Nah, man, I don't just do on the minute style training, although it is like a big part of my training, especially in the
off-season. I know.
But I love the style of semis. I like the grittiness and the grind. I like the simplicity of everything, as far as we know. Like, I don't know what'll change or, you know, what they might throw in that we don't know about. For the most part, they're pretty simple and straightforward and gritty, and I like that. So I think it's beautiful programming.
So how cool is it for you to be back in, is it back at Carson, right?
In Carson, the same
So how cool is that to be back at the Carson?
That's epic. I've been there twice just to spectate. I've never competed there.
Oh, you haven't?
Mm-mm.
Oh, damn.
2017 was the first year in Madison. 2018, oh, that's right. The first year I qualified.
Okay.
And so like to be able to go to Carson and actually compete in Carson is like, dude, it's so sick. Like, that's whenever I was young, dude, watching the sport and like being a fan of the sport. It's like, dude, I just want to, like, I want to run in that soccer stadium. I want to lift in the Coliseum. Like, dude, it's dope. Or the tennis stadium, rather, not the Coliseum. But yeah, dude, like, super cool.
Dude, that crowd's going to be wild, too. Wild.
I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah, it will.
So we're going to need some people yelling at us for some of those workouts, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you're looking at the workouts, did you see any that are like kind of like home runs for you, or like saying like, oh yeah, I could really do some damage with this group?
I've never looked at a single workout and thought that. I've never looked at anything and been like, okay, I'm going to crush it. But like, I'm also not an athlete that has home runs, to be honest. I'm a decently consistent athlete for the most part.
Yeah.
And so like, I don't get real high and I don't get real low, except for if, you know, typically like a one rep max would usually be pretty bad for me. And so like, even if there was something where I was like, oh dude, like those movements are great for me, I think I can do some damage. Like I wouldn't have that mindset, because like, I always just think that there's going to be someone better. And so like, I know it's going to have to be like a dog fight no matter what the event is. And in fact, like the ones that you're good at and like you think you could knock out of the park, those aren't the ones where you're like, okay, like this one's going to be easy for me to win. It's like, no, this is the one that's going to hurt the absolute most because I can't do well at it, you know?
Yeah.
So I have to be careful with that mindset. And even if there was one that I saw, like I'd have to be careful with the mindset, but there isn't anything that I really look at and I'm like, okay, like I could smash it. I hope to be consistent across them enough that I can, you know, that I can have a good weekend. But again, I also can't control the other savages on the field, because every single one of those athletes is capable, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So are you going to be able to like chat with your therapist or somebody that like can kind of like take you off the ledge if you're like not in the right place at all for that weekend?
I got my wife, I got my friends. Well, and I think in competition, there's never been a ledge. Like, I mean, in 2021 at the West Coast Classic, the last semis I competed at as an individual, I tore my UCL in the first event.
Yeah.
So I had to compete in 5 more events with a torn UCL in my elbow. And even then it was like, okay, like I'm not going to, there's no ledge to walk off of. I'm just going to see if I can like take this next event. And so like, even still, it's like, you just take it one event at a time and put your head down and play the cards that you got. And like, just kind of see what you're capable of. And like, I think that's the biggest thing for me over the weekend, is just like, what can I do in this event? Can I run an awesome race? Can I like optimize this workout for me? Can I keep my blinders on? Can I, you know, push whenever it's necessary? Like what can I do compared to the field? Like, without comparing myself to the field, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you win, you're going to tell John Young to eat shit.
Oh man. John Young's a good guy. He, He never like insulted me with anything he said. I never took any offense to it. Like we're putting the shirt in the mail for him, and all in good jest. We're gonna ship it out to him. I don't mind being called washed up, or like I don't care if people know my name. I don't care. Like, I'd rather it be quiet. Like, I'd rather no one know who I was or like where I was, you know, if I was even a contender. Doesn't matter. Cause like I said, the weekend comes, like, you just go do like what you're capable of and see what you can do. And it doesn't matter what anyone else has thought previously.
Yeah.
And that goes for like, if everyone was like, dude, Brandon's going to go win. It's like, dude, that also doesn't matter. And in fact, that matters less so than anything else that anyone else could say. It's cause like someone saying you're going to win is like, there's not a lot of value in it, because you have to go do the thing first, you know?
Yep. Now, how did you hear that? So did someone like message you and say, hey, John Young said this, or were you listening? That's what happened.
Yeah. I don't listen to a lot of like CrossFit podcasts. Honestly, like they make me nervous. They give me anxiety. They make me start thinking about like what everyone else is doing all the time, mm-hmm. instead of just focusing on like what I can do that day for myself in terms of like training or whatever. So I don't listen to a whole lot of like CrossFit podcasts for that reason.
Smart, very smart.
But a friend of mine, Kiefer, my buddy over at Underdogs, he's like, dude, you got to listen to this podcast. This guy is like calling you washed up, like saying like you're barely any fitter than he is. And like, it was after the Dubai, because like I programmed an event for Dubai, and like I tested all the events. Well, I tested them in the way that they sent them to me, which isn't how they were performed at the event, and like saw the time caps were messed up. And there's basically saying like, there's no way, like I got these time caps with these events, and they were right because I didn't do the same events that they used at Dubai. Mm-hmm. But that's where it all started. And then it's kind of just been like a rolling thing with John Young saying something, you know, first was with the open of like, you know, this was the open, there was no skill, it wasn't heavy. Which is true. Like, there wasn't a ton of skill in the open, and it wasn't heavy, which is pans well for me. But it just kind of kept rolling, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you printed those shirts out relatively quick too.
We only made 4, I think.
Oh, that's why. Okay. So that's why the price of it was that much. Okay. Yeah.
Well, the shirts are super nice. Like, they're these very nice quality oversized t-shirts. So like, we're not really making a bunch of margin on them, but we're not trying to lose money on them either.
Well, true. Yeah. Yeah.
And so like, those are all going through pre-orders, but yeah, we made 4. I was like, I want 2. We'll send one to John Young and we'll have an extra, you know?
Nice. So, yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Very cool. So, we're getting close to the end. So, I know we did rapid fire questions last year, like a couple of years ago. So I got some new ones, but, so what are your goals for the rest of the year, CrossFit wise and, you know, personal or business?
With CrossFit, man, I just want to enjoy the process.
Yeah.
Aside from like, I don't want to think about like, you know, I want to be this place or this whatever. I would love to go compete at the CrossFit Games. Like that, yes, that's a goal, but an overarching goal is like, I want to enjoy this journey. I want to enjoy this season and just like kind of see like what I'm capable of and like what I can do, like with the mindset that I have and like the focus that I have and the cards that I've got. With business, I'd love to keep growing the Imam company. I'd love to keep being a physicist. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm going to keep doing that as hard as I can. And like, there will be seasons where there's focus on the business and not focus on being fit. And there'll be seasons where I'm focused on being fit and I'm not as focused on the business, but overall you got to focus on them both. And so like, I want to keep growing both of those things.
Very cool.
So yeah.
Yeah. Now just to remember, the last time you were on my podcast, you said you were going to hang it up. And so you're saying that again. And so
did I say that?
Yeah. You were saying you were like, kind of like work. You're going to go work for your company, go work for your dad's company.
In seasons, it's all in seasons, man. I'm kind of done calling out what the future is going to look like for myself, you know. I just gonna keep doing the things I enjoy doing, seeing where the cards fall. I'd love to do an Ironman at some point, so I got to do that before I get too old, you know. So like, there's things I want to do, but I love what I'm doing, and so it's just, you know, the wife and I will talk after the season and see what's next, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, triathlon. So it's funny. I used to do triathlons before I started doing CrossFit. And so because I was like a college athlete, and so I had nothing else, and I was like, oh, I'll just do triathlons. And so it's a bug that really can get you real quick.
And financially, you can go buy bike as much as a house. Take a second mortgage out for that cycle, man.
Yeah. So the bike that I got was about $25,000 to $3,000. And 25 to 3. Sorry, did I say 30?
So no, you said 3. 2500 to 3000. Yeah.
Yeah, so, and it was funny cuz that day I was going to go possibly get that bike. I tried another bike that was used and it was about like $6,000.
Yeah.
And so then all of a sudden they called me like a couple hours later saying, "Hey, we're willing to sell it to you for $2,800." And so it was like, this bike was my dream bike. I wanted it so bad, but I stuck with this other one. And I'm like, oh God, I'm like, and then I don't even use it now. That's the problem. I don't use it. So, cause like I can't,
maybe I'll borrow it if I can go do an Ironman.
Dude, it is way too big for you. Way too big for you. So
I'm only 5'5".
No, you're not.
I'm 6 foot.
No, but it's like the biggest bike frame you can get.
It's a double XL. It's just massive.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a double XL for Specialized. And so it's like, and I can't ride it with like doing like normal rides with my kids and stuff because the seat's all the way up. And so I'm like literally like holding the elbow rest up, just sitting up and just looking super awkward.
It's not a casual ride bike. It's not the beach cruiser.
No, no. Yeah. I wish I had a beach cruiser, but it's. I haven't gotten on that bike for a very, very long time. But when I was in the doing triathlons, I was hooked, absolutely hooked. So,
So we'll see if I touch on one of those. There's a lot of challenges out there, and that's like what I said. Like, it's always going to be the next thing I want to go give a run at. So we'll see what happens, man.
Yeah. Next question. So, obviously, you've worked with a bunch of sponsors before, and so what are You haven't worked with 10,000?
Worked with 10,000. That was one. I wouldn't say I've worked with a bunch of sponsors. Okay. That was probably like my biggest relationship before they kind of cut CrossFit off. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so you've had worked with one sponsor before. So if a sponsor wanted to come up to you and wanted to sponsor you, what kind of company would you want to work for and like, you know, have like a good relationship with?
Yeah. So that's why I don't work with a bunch of people, I think, is because one, I don't ask for things ever. I don't like to ask for things, but I would want to work with someone that I believe in the product and I use the product religiously. Yeah. And there's just not a lot of things that like I use religiously, you know, that people have like approached with. And so like, I haven't worked with like a bunch of people. And so like, there are things that I do use religiously. I just haven't been approached by anybody with them, you know? And so that is the only thing. It's like, if I use it, I would love to support it, but I don't want to support something and like push it and peddle it. I'm also not really a salesman, dude. I don't like to sell people on anything. I'm not good at it. Yeah. I don't like to push people on things. So I don't want to push something onto my, like my following or my community that I don't wholeheartedly believe in and use daily, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I do too. So like the companies down below, like I use every single one of them. So it's like, I don't want to like give someone snake oil and be like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever, you know? Right. And all of a sudden be like, no, this is garbage.
Right. So yeah, that's the one thing. I was like, if I use it, I love to support it. In fact, there's things that I use that I pay for that I support. And like, I'll talk about or like I'll post and whatever, but, outside of that. Yeah.
All right. Next question. What is in your gym bag?
Oh, a lot of stuff. Like, man, I got two belts. I have like three gymnastics grips. I got four or five jump ropes. I got a lot of thumb tape. I have a lot of sock bands that I wear on my wrists. That's about it, dude. Always a pair of shoes, shorts, and shirts.
Do you wear lifters?
No.
What?
Yeah, I don't
really. Wow. Even with that 365 squat clean, that was with no lifters.
Yeah, those are in rads. Holy crap. I wasn't wearing knee sleeves the first time I attempted it, and I failed it. And I was over at Underdog out in Vegas, and Kiefer was like, dude, go get my knee sleeves off the lockers. They're old as hell. They're probably like, you know, real taut. So I went, like, pulled them up and hit 365 with a belt and knee sleeves and flats.
Damn. That's crazy. Yeah. So we got a next question. So what is one thing that not a lot of people know about you?
You already found out, dude. I go to therapy.
Okay.
Man, I don't know.
I'll give you one. So I'm a huge Silver Surfer fan. So what that's like, it's a
wait.
Superhero.
He's like a superhero. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, I have his like first. I have his first issue, like in a comic book graded. I have like a poster of him like chilling out my son's room. That's like from like the 1980s. Like I have like stacks of like comic books of the Silver Surfer because I think he's so cool. And like, no one really knows that I'm like a comic book dork and a Silver Surfer fan. So that's something like stupid like that.
Okay. So like whenever I was young, dude, my favorite movie was The Patriot with Mel Gibson. Like love that movie, dude. So whenever I was a kid in like fourth or fifth grade, you didn't have to have an ATF license to ship black powder rifles or muskets to an ATF. You could just order them straight from the website and ship them to your house. So I've got like five or six black powder muskets because I was in love with the Patriot.
That's like, dope.
Yeah, I was like a fifth grader, just like all these muskets. I'd shoot them like every weekend, dude. But yeah, I still got them all. They look
that's
like
awesome.
They're antique looking now, you know.
But have you shot any off lately at all? Or
it's been a very long time. And in fact, whenever I started working for my dad, I got him a Christmas gift with two dueling black powder single shot pistols. They're like beautiful dueling Italian made pistols. And I got them engraved with like father, like son, with his name on the bottom of one and my name on the bottom of the other.
Wow.
So, and we never, like, we wanted to shoot them like as like a, like almost like ceremonial thing. We just never did.
I mean, why would you want to ruin it?
Right. Like they're gorgeous. They're so pretty.
Yeah, it's like
they're big too. They're like this big. They look like, I mean, they're cool.
Yeah, and if you have the gunpowder just shoot off, it's already gonna stain the gun, so it's like not even worth it.
Yeah, so yeah, we haven't touched them.
So you should have put like America on like the top part of it, something like that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, so last two questions. So this one's a little personal. So let's just say it's your last day on earth and all your friends are around you. Mm-hmm. And how do you want them to know you as?
Man.
Or even like people that don't know you, like, how do you want them to know you as?
I just want them to know that I love them. There's not much else that's more important than that, man.
Mm-hmm.
All my friends, all my family, like it doesn't care what they thought I was, a hard worker, a CrossFit athlete, a physicist, a son, a brother, a dad. I just want them to know that I loved them and I want them to love me.
Damn. Out of the 172 episodes that I've done on this podcast, no one said that. Like I've the love part, like no one. So that's awesome. I was not expecting that. So that's very cool. Last question. So where can people reach out to you about the Emom company, getting involved with Emom or anything like that? Like where can they reach out to you?
Yeah. Our Instagram page, the_Emom_company. We got hundreds of free workouts out there. We got a lot of, like I said, I always want to provide value. We've got challenges. So hop on the challenges, man. They're taking money out of my pocket and putting it in yours. We're giving away a free watch on this last one, a free Garmin. So that was cool. And then all of the other information is always in that link in the bio that I don't pay attention to anymore because our marketer is awesome and she takes care of all that.
Nice. So, very cool. Yes, yeah. Well, hey, thank you for coming on. And I'm sorry I had to delay it another week. So you had to do two podcasts. So
I appreciate you.
Yeah, dude, it's like, I can't believe it's been only 2 years. It's been 2 years since we last talked. And like, it's all like the first time it was great talking to you and it's even better now. So yeah, you're welcome to come on the show anytime you want.
So much in 2 years too, man. I've been seeing you all over the place. That's amazing.
I'm trying. So,
hey, dude, keep grinding. Your wife knows how to grind for years and make it. So, like, dude, just let her tell you what to do, right? You know?
Yeah.
Don't tell her I said that, though, right?
All right, man.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate you.